We look, brethren, for a few moments at the third epistle of John. Third epistle of John is a very short letter. Not too often spoken on, but it's part of the Word of God. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and we know. And we know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Well, you know, brethren, this is a warm epistle. It's not very long, but it's warm with Christian love. And there are lessons here for us, practical lessons, that I think we each one do well to take heed to. This is an inspired epistle, of course, and the apostle says we know that our record is true. That's inspiration. But the apostle exhorts us here in different ways, but the word truth comes out a number of times in this epistle. You notice that. The word beloved is used, is it three times? And there's three characters brought before us in the epistle, which you have noticed. Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. Two of them had a good testimony. Their lives were to the credit of the Lord Jesus. They walked in the truth. One, we wouldn't want to be identified with him, Diotrephes. Was he a Christian? Well, we don't know. Probably he was, but he was. If he was a brother, he wanted to have the first place, me first, and anyone that would call in question his position was dealt with maliciously. Well, That danger is there for us too, because naturally we like to have the prominent place. Is that what we want, the prominent place among our brethren? As we were often reminded in Ottawa years ago, Brother Pitt, I think it was, he said, "When I was unsaved, I wanted to be a great man in the world. After I was saved, I wanted to be a great man in the Church of God. But I found that both were wrong." Well, we need that humble spirit to go on in our assemblies where the Lord has placed us, in the path that he has marked out in his word for us, the path of the truth. May not be a popular path, but a path that is pleasing to the Lord. So starting here, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. Isn't that a lovely term, well-beloved? We're children of God. We're beloved of God. For Christ's sake, we belong to him. Gaius here was one that was well beloved, whom I love in the truth. Well, there is such a thing as brotherly love, and it's beautiful in its place. But here the apostle says, whom I love in the truth. Gaius apparently was a faithful brother. He didn't compromise. He didn't give up certain truths in order to maintain his company with his brethren, with certain brethren whom he had an attraction for. The apostle said, whom I love in the truth. So, there needs to be faithfulness in our lives. And when we have problems in our assemblies, as we have had recently, you know what a lot of the difficulty is? Family relationships. Certain brothers are offended because of the way certain members of their family were dealt with. You've seen this, and I have seen this. Is that loving in the truth? Yes, we know that blood runs thicker than water, but we need to be faithful. The Lord spoke of forsaking father and mother for the gospel's sake. And in the assembly, it may be necessary to reprove, to correct, to take a faithful stand for the truth of God, even with our loved ones who may not understand. But God will reward faithfulness. All right, coming down. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. You young people like to have prosperity in your life, in school, in work, whatever. You want to be prosperous. We all would like to have a prosperous life and be in health. We all enjoy being well. A lot of sickness among the saints of God now, but if the Lord has given you any measure of health, it comes from him anyway. Use it for the Lord. Well, it's good to have prosperity in our lives down here. Prosper and be in health. But there's a governor here. Notice the last expression in this verse. Even as thy soul prospereth. Notice, even as thy soul prospereth. Don't allow the first two to run away from the last. A governor and a piece of machinery, it keeps it from running too fast, I understand. are getting out of control. We need this control here. Even as thy soul prospereth. Do you want to prosper in the things of the Lord? Is that a priority? Or is it getting on at school or work? Getting to the top, as they say? God may prosper you in that way, but he doesn't promise it. That should not be the object of our lives. As Mr. Kelly said to one that was going through for medicine, he says, it's all right to seek higher education and to be a doctor, but don't try to be the very best doctor in England. So even as thy soul prospereth, and we need to be careful in our walk. What we read, what we spend our spare time upon. God doesn't encourage laziness. Indolence, is that the way you're going to walk in the truth? Young people, we've just had an outline of prophecy which was helpful at a level that perhaps you could understand, but your soul is going to prosper. Don't neglect the meetings where you belong, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. You want to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ? Sisters, I'm speaking to as well. You've got to show diligence in your Christian life. Look at the amount of literature, if I can use the term, among brethren. It's the work of two or three lifetimes. And if your soul is going to prosper, we have to be diligent in the things of the Lord. You say, what about the gospel? Diligent in the gospel, too. Let's go forth with all the energy possible, as the Lord enables us, to give the gospel out to the lost. We have perishing souls all around us who are going on to a lost eternity. Do I believe it? Sometimes I wonder. And you sisters can be a help. You can be an evangelist too. You don't have to be a member of the Scranton Fire Department in order to knock at the door and tell a person he's in danger. Well, whatever service the Lord may give you, may you seek to do it for him. And prosper in your soul. But I might say that the only way you're going to prosper in your soul is to give the Word of God its rightful place. I wish that I had spent more time in this precious volume when I was a teenager. When you get older, you don't have the same powers of retention. Never very bright at any time in my life as far as that goes, but as you get older, you don't retain things as easily as when you're younger. This is the time in your life to give attention to reading. To prophecy. Prophecy is a very interesting study, and there's lots of ministry there to enlighten us about prophetic matters. God would have us to understand prophecy. Why has he written it in his word? But we need to give the word of God its rightful place in our lives. I want to turn to a verse. I don't want to take too much time here. The time is going. Just want to refer to a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's a verse that has often been used. 10, 2 Corinthians 4:10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Is that the desire of our lives, brethren, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body? Where it says, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, I believe that it refers to self-judgment. There's no time that you can take a vacation from this verse. Young people, don't say we're going to get together and forget that we belong to the meeting and have some fun. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. There's never a time when we can loose the reins. We've got to keep that old nature in the place of death. If any man follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That doesn't always appeal to us. We have an old nature. We must keep it in the place of death, or communion is going to be interrupted. And what will happen? The life of Jesus will not be manifest in our body. That's the problem that I have sometimes. The life also of Jesus manifest in our body. Your testimony, no man liveth unto himself, no man dieth unto himself. You have a testimony at school, at the office, at work. You say, people don't look at me. They do. You are writing an epistle. You are watched. And we are called upon to always bear about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. That is realizing where the death of Christ has put us. But sometimes we don't do that. So God interferes in our lives. Do you want God to interfere in your life? Thank God that he has in mind. That is brought out in verse 11. For we which live are alway delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, and life, but life in you. What does that mean? Because I don't judge the old nature, the flesh in me, God comes in with circumstances in my life that I don't like, but they lead me to judge that old nature and the flesh which is ready to rise up and dishonor the Lord. The end result is the same, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. That's the discipline that God brings us through. You know, brethren, you're going to be disciplined in your Christian life until the end. Thank God that we have discipline. Thank God that he steps in and interferes in our lives, in some of our grandiose plans and purposes. We might have disappointments and distresses and discouragements. Things just don't work out the way that we would like them to work out. God is behind the scenes, moving all the scenes that he is behind. He's perfect, infinite in wisdom, far more than any earthly father. And if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Because you're a son, God is going to discipline. We get off with nothing, brethren, as we have often been reminded. Every act in our lives has its present and eternal consequences. But do you want your life to remain for Christ, and that there might be a reward in that coming day, something that, as our brother mentioned, the crowns that will be awarded, we're going to cast them at the Lord's feet. But remember that your life is going to be reviewed at the judgment seat of Christ, and what you have done today, how you have lived today, is going to be revealed. It's going to come out, manifest. And that which has been for the Lord's glory will remain. There'll be a reward. Not the motive, I know, but certainly an encouragement. because we live in difficult days. And Satan is active to discourage and to turn us aside from the pathway of faith. He has lots of experience, 6,000 years. He knows, you young people, how to turn you aside from the path of the truth, maybe into a relationship that you will regret the rest of your life. Now, in the epistle that we read, the truth is mentioned several times here. It says here in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Verse 3, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Did he testify himself about his work? No, the brethren did. You know, we don't rate very much above the par that our brethren give us. They know us pretty well in our home assemblies. We don't rate very much higher than their assessment. And it means something. If you are not walking in step with your brethren, beware, there's something wrong somewhere. If they are not in favor of the work that you are doing, take heed. Or you say, I have a call from the Lord to do this or that. All right, but you'll notice in the book of the Acts that the brethren worked in fellowship with those in the assembly. And we should covet that. Not that they appoint us a service to do, not that they set out a work for us to do, no. But they have a fairly good understanding of service for the Lord. And we need to pay attention to what they say, especially our older brethren. But here, testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Well, it's possible to get quite an intellectual grasp of the truth. There's a tremendous amount of ministry out there, and we should read it. We should be diligent in reading the ministry that has been left to us. That's where we fail. But we need to walk in the truth. Walk in the truth. Our daily lives should show in a practical way that we belong to Christ. I heard this just this morning about a young brother who I won't mention, whose name I won't mention, who's a teacher in a school. Just a young brother. I know him. And I thought it was beautiful because the students had taken up a referendum or whatever you might call it, 600 names so that he would remain in the school. Well, that was a good testimony. That brother will have power when he speaks for Christ in that school. But our lives, our practical interaction with others, in the assembly, in the world. We're not in the glory yet. We're still in the world. And we're bearing a testimony in the world every day. At the school, in the office, what is our testimony like? What do others say? Oh, some people say it doesn't matter what the world says about you. It does matter what the world says about you. Very much so. Do they give you, they know how a Christian should walk. And if you're inconsistent, the world is the first one who is going to, as I say, point the finger. But he says he's a Christian. Let us be careful of how we act toward the world so that we don't cut off ears. I'm afraid I've cut off some people's ears. Peter did that. And it's easy for us to do that too. Well, walking in the truth is what the apostle rejoiced in here. And it was a testimony that was known in the assembly. And the apostle rejoiced greatly. Isn't that encouraging and warm, enthusiastic? He rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Well, brethren, we live in a day of compromise, if ever there was. Compromise, giving up the truth. In the evangelical circles today, there is a giving up that would boggle your mind. I've read some of it, and maybe you have. Societies that were at one time considered fundamental and sound and solid, now you would be shocked at what they allow. They've given up the truth. There's not two truths, there's the truth, period. Are we willing to walk in the truth? Let me say this before I close, that if you are in the assembly gathered to the Lord's name, young people and older ones too, God has given you a tremendous blessing. He's brought you into the place where his name is. We're gathered, as it comes on in the chapter here, about the name, for his name's sake. When someone asks you, what church do you go to? What do you say? I go to this or that denomination. We gather to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're in the assembly where his name has been placed, you don't realize, you young people perhaps, the present time, how privileged and favored you are. Remain in the assembly where the Lord has placed his name. I have no doubt in my own soul that there is a divine ground of gathering. There's been failures. There's been failures in my life, maybe in others too. But there is a divine ground of gathering. Value it. God will bless you for it. But it's a day of compromise, again I say. Maybe some young people say, but there's not much activity in the gospel. Well, that's a good sentiment to express. We should be active in the gospel. There was a sister in the Ottawa meeting. Her name was Andrea. I got to know her pretty well. She came from some denomination that was quite active. And I had quite a bit of contact with her because she was evangelically minded. And she would come down and help in the market and the work and so on. But she got discouraged and said, there's nothing going on here in the gospel in the assembly. So she went to the largest denomination in Ottawa. And I said, Andrea, what are you doing? Well, we're doing this, that, and the other thing. Well, I said, that's all right. I'm glad to hear that the gospel is going out. But what about the truth of gathering to the Lord's name? I say, you're going to see things in that group that are contrary to the word of God. But she said, there was not much activity there in the assembly in Ottawa. They pleased themselves. Well, I'm not going to make any comment on that. Each one of us can take that to heart. If any man follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If you're going to go out with the gospel, there's going to be sacrifice. There's going to be sacrifice. And may it flow from true love to the Lord Jesus. Not something legal. I've got to go out now because the brethren expect me to go. And may it be love for the Lord. Love for precious souls. May we go forth after we pray. Don't start out in the work of the gospel without praying. Saturate your work with prayer. And the Lord will bless you and encourage you. Don't say you're going to see a lot of results. How many results did the Lord see at the end of his life? 3.5 years. How much result? 12 disciples. That wasn't a great number, was it? 12. For 3.5 years ministry. I speak this reverently. And of those 12, one was a traitor. And one denied the Lord 3 times. And they all forsook him and fled. You'd say that was looked as if it was a failure. But in resurrection, what blessing. You know, young people, you're a soldier for Jesus Christ. We have soldiers in Afghanistan now, and Canada has about 2,000 there. You have number there too. But to be a soldier for the Lord Jesus is not always easy. A soldier doesn't think of his own comfort, does he? The commander says, you go into battle. He doesn't say, well, General, I feel too tired today. He'd only say that once. That doesn't even enter into the picture. What is the basic thing that a soldier must learn? You young people, young men, I'm sure you know it. Obedience without any questioning to his commander. No questions. When the commander gives a command, an injunction, he obeys. His priority is one, to please his commander. That's his priority. He may do something along the side, which is all right, but when it comes to priorities, it's what his commander says. Well, we're soldiers for Jesus Christ, and we are to walk in the truth here. May the Lord help us to live in view of eternity. In view of eternity. We're just on the threshold of the Lord's coming. The time is short. We may not have another conference in Montrose, but are we living for Christ, walking in the truth, looking on to that day when all will be revealed? You know, the Word of God exhorts us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You notice that verse? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Why aren't we filled with the Holy Spirit? I speak for myself, because there's too much rubbish in the glass. If you have a glass that has rubbish in it and debris, you can't fill it with water. If you wanted to fill this room with chairs, you'd have to get rid of everything else, tables and everything, and just have chairs here. Why is it we're not filled with the Holy Spirit? It's an exhortation in Ephesians chapter 5 to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because there's too much of the world in our lives, or it might be sinful things that we refuse to judge. That's why we're not filled. We grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes by what we say, sometimes by evil thoughts. You say, I can't stop and judge every thought that comes into my mind. I'd be doing it all day long. But Mr. Darby answered that in this way. He said he realized there was a problem, because how many of us do not have trouble with evil thoughts, unclean thoughts, maybe even at the breaking of bread? What are we going to do? Turn from it. Turn from it. The act of turning from it is judging it. I thought that was very good. Mr. Darby said that. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. If I have an object and I let it drop, the law of gravity is going to bring it down to the floor. But if I attach a balloon to it, what's going to happen? If I attach a balloon to this wallet, going to rise against the law of gravity. Oh, the law of gravity is not changed, but I have brought in another law or principle, that's really the thought there, principle, that acts upon that wallet against the law of gravity. So you have the Spirit of God to occupy you with Christ. Allow him to do that, and you'll get the victory over the flesh. I'm afraid in my case, maybe others could relate to it, Spirit of God is often occupied with keeping, helping me to judge the old nature. He does that. In the glory, that won't be necessary. But that's one of the activities of the Spirit of God, is to help you to overcome those strong temptations and tendencies of the old nature which rise up in your heart and you say, how can I control them and overcome them? You have the Spirit of God, you have Christ at God's right hand as a great high priest. Anyway, Diotrephes is a character that we don't want to emulate. And there's always the tendency to want to be great. That's often the cause of many of the problems in the assembly. Someone wanted to be great. May the Lord help us to walk in humility, in dependence upon the Lord. We're not like a storage battery. You and I only have power in our Christian life as we are dependent upon the Lord. Bulldog Tom, I often tell that story. He got saved. He was a dog trainer. And he used to look after fighting dogs. That way, he was a big, strong, strapping fella. And someone said, Bulldog Tom, since you got saved, how are things going? Well, he says, I still have those temptations, those old temptations that I had when I was unconverted, but it's just like this. When I trained those fighting dogs, and we would be out for a walk, I never allowed them to eat more than once a day. So when we'd be going along, the dog would see a nice bone over there, and he'd make for it. I'd say, no. He'd look at me, turn away from it. Go on a little further, there was another nice juicy bone, and he would make for it, and I'd say, no, don't touch. So I found that when there was a power in my eye that kept that dog from taking what he wanted most of all. And he says, it's just like that in my Christian life. When I keep my eyes on the Lord, he gives me the strength to overcome those evil things which I desire. You mean all the evil desires are gone from your heart after you're saved? No. But when I look to the Lord in dependence, that's the only time that we have power in our Christian life, as we are dependent upon the Lord. Start the day with on your knees reading the Word of God in prayer, looking up to the Lord for guidance and help, because you don't know what the day holds. There may be a temptation. Satan is looking on, and he might bring a temptation before you so strongly. And you say, how can I overcome it? Lord, undertake for me. Help me. Save me from this situation, because I'm going to yield to it. May the Lord help us to be dependent upon him and to go on and walk in the truth and have a life that will be for the glory of our blessed Savior and for the blessing of his people.